while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses it, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with Him, though the night around me falling, but He bids me go through the voice of hope, His voice to me is calling, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, team. Hope that song has some new meaning to you. And again, I'm down to 32 minutes. That's okay. That's okay, because I knew we're starting the new subject, and I knew I would not even come close to finishing. So at 12 o'clock, I will cut it off, and we will pick back up next week where we stop. We are in our discipleship study, and I don't know if you guys remember. It's been about 6 months now since we started, I think, this discipleship study. Because that's what the church is supposed to be. We're not supposed to be called. We're not supposed to be Christians. That was a term given to believers from non-believers, just to say, hey, those are those people who follow that Christ. Jesus never called anyone to be a Christian. He called us to be disciples. A disciple is a committed, sold-out, blood-bought follower of Christ. An obedient student of the Master. That's what we are called to. We are called as a church to be disciples and to make disciples, teaching them to observe everything that He has taught us. So we started this series about 6 months ago, what it means to be a disciple. We went through all that, and then we're in this series, part of the series now, be ready to give a reason for your hope. We should be equipped in this, educated in this, to be able to talk to people and answer their questions. Because there's a lot of questions today. There's so much deception in the world. They're being taught so many false things. And we should be able to help people navigate the deception and find the truth. That's why we are called. Jesus didn't just save us to save us. He saved us for us to be with Him, but also for us to be His church, to be His people, and to go out and do the work. Be ready to give it a reason for your hope, to be able to explain to people what you believe and why you believe it. It's not blind faith. God came to give us sight, not to keep us blind. And a lot of Christians are lazy because, oh, I just believe, and they don't know why, and that doesn't help anybody. And we are to be ready to give a reason of what we believe and why we believe it. And we get this from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Sanctify means to make holy, to set apart. We are sanctified when we are born again. God sets us apart as His people for His purpose. But we are to sanctify ourselves. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Our hearts are symbolic of who we are. It's our life. And we're to sanctify now ourselves to Him. He committed Himself to us when He died upon the cross. And freely we choose to turn from our sins and put our faith in Him and follow Him. And He sanctifies us. He promises all those who will turn to Him will be saved. But now it's our turn to sanctify ourselves to Him and His cause. To be obedient. This is going to cause us to sacrifice. Maybe to suffer, endure hard times, persecution maybe. But to sell ourselves out, to sanctify ourselves to our Lord is going to cost. We're not greater than our Master, and it costs Him everything. This is what we have to decide to do, commit ourselves. But many Christians today, many churches today, do not understand the cost, the commitment that God is calling us to. Religion has crept in, made many churches religious. Just do the checklist, go through the numbers, be a good person. But here, this is talking about something deep within us. Our whole being, walking, serving, committed to our Lord. Day in, day out, for the rest of our days. And in doing so, we get ourselves equipped. We grow in our understanding. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense. Apologia, it's apologetics. Give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. Again, you know, we've talked about 80% of our young people leave the church nowadays. 80%. And it's because the church never equipped them. The church taught them religion. And so we've been going over all the stuff that people are talking about nowadays and have questions about. So here's the list we've gone over. How do we know God exists? We should be able to almost say, how do you know God's even there? Can you see Him? Can you prove God? Can you talk to people about God? And has God revealed Himself to us? Basically through the Bible. And how do we know the Bible is true? How do we know this is authored by God? Yeah, written by men, but authored by God. Can we prove this book beyond the creation of man? Can we talk to people about it? Can we show them how it's supernatural? And then we talked about a worldwide flood of Noah. I think we were on that for 7 weeks. All the evidence for a worldwide flood. And it's very important that we know that there was a worldwide flood because it was a judgment on sin. It was a judgment on... Say it loud, like folks. It was a judgment on...
sin.
Folks, we as a people need to be bold about saying that word. Because that is the root cause of everything we see in the world. Sin is destroying everything. And God judged it. And we got to be able to tell people they're in sin. And because we know God judged the world in a flood, He said He did it. We can prove it with evidence, scientific evidence. And if He did it in the past and He's promised to do it in the future, He's appointed a day when He will judge the world in righteousness. He has given assurance to all to all people by raising this man from the dead, Jesus Christ. He says there's a day coming, he's going to judge the world again. If he did it once, and he says he's going to do it again, can we trust that? Yes. So the worldwide flood, it's very important to talk to people and show them God did judge the world. And he's going to judge it again, so you need to repent. Turn from your sins. And we talked about worldwide flood of Noah and how that threw everything off with the destruction and the evidence. And people, Satan tried to take the evidence of the worldwide flood and give it a new spin to interpret the evidence we see for a worldwide flood, to interpret it a different way, millions of years. See, that's what the enemy did. He took the evidence for the flood, all that scientific evidence we had, and he used a couple men, Lyle, Hutton, and Darwin, to repackage the evidence into a theory of millions of years in evolution. We talk about millions of years and how we can scientifically prove that's not true, the geological column and all that. So we're done with that. We finished that up right before Resurrection Sunday. And now we're on the next subject. When did the dinosaurs live? Because we're told dinosaurs lived how many years ago? Millions of years ago. So, and dinosaurs are still, people are still fascinated with dinosaurs. But guess what? Satan is using dinosaurs to make people doubt this. And if you doubt the very first couple chapters, you're going to doubt the rest of it. And he's using dinosaurs to do this. And he's been very successful at it. I was as I was preparing for this, I was on YouTube and I saw an ad on YouTube, you know. And it caught my attention because here was the title of the ad. Next slide there, Gordon. Sure. Humans and dinosaurs didn't actually coexist, but who doesn't love a good twist? Oreo cookie. Let's twist on it.
Cream on the left, tweak it out of here. Cream on the right, we stay with those guys.
All right, people, we're on the moon!
Go, Griffin, get your spear.
I saw that, I'm like... First of all, what's the explanation of how the dinosaurs died? The big meteor, right? They didn't die in a flood, even though all the evidence points that they did. But they also said, hey, we know they didn't exist together, but it was kind of funny for the commercial. But actually, humanity and dinosaurs did exist together. Because God made everything in 6 days. And on the sixth day, he made all the land animals. And he made man. And he made woman. On the sixth day. There's no such thing as prehistoric. History started with Genesis chapter 1. There's no such thing as prehistoric world. A history before Genesis 1. I'm going to show you that in the next couple of weeks. We're going to go over all the scientific evidence of man and dinosaurs together. And there's actually a lot of it. But there is a narrative out there by the prince of this world, the powers that be, from governments to schools and universities that have an agenda that is completely humanistic, secular, pagan, that do not teach all the evidence and do not teach the true historical account, but cover things up and teach a false version of human history based on uniformitarianism, which we talked about. And even a dumb little ad on YouTube is showing how people are still very interested in dinosaurs and humans, but you know, they didn't coexist. And here's some more. I found a headline: Real Life Jurassic World May Exist Just on Another Planet. This was on Fox News. Researchers on Earth could detect life, such life, by searching for compounds that are not currently present on our planet. You know what compounds they're talking about? Remember the video I showed you where did we come from? Stardust! Very good. Janet. We're just compounds that got together in life. But look what it says, that compounds that are not currently present on our planet but were during the age of the dinosaurs, that's because the Earth had higher levels of oxygen. Oh, I think we talked about that, didn't we? How did the world have... If uniformitarianism is correct, then the Earth, yes, has a meteor hit it and changed, you know, according to them, blocked all the sunlight out, killed the plants and all that, and killed the dinosaurs. But that doesn't explain why they had higher levels of oxygen pre-flood. But they say maybe there's a world out there that has similar conditions. So this is based, again, on evolution. But the next slide, it says, hopefully we'll find some planets that happen to have more oxygen than Earth right now, because that will make the search for life just a little bit easier. And who knows? Maybe there are other dinosaurs waiting to be found. So why I show this is that there's still a very good interest in dinosaurs in the public. And Satan is using dinosaurs in a corrupt way to take people away from God, when dinosaurs should be bringing people to God. He should get all the glory for his creation. And again, the humanistic worldview is that all life came from compounds, chemical evolution, which turned into organic evolution and produced life in animals. And we're going to talk about that in the weeks to come as well. So the real question is, when did the dinosaurs live? Did they live isolated by themselves 65 million years ago? Or did man and dinosaurs coexist? And it probably wouldn't have been bad to coexist with them before the fall. But maybe after the fall of humanity and the world was cursed, maybe it wouldn't have been too pleasant to live along dinosaurs. But here we go. Watch this video.
In a time long, long ago, 1993 to be exact.
You said you've got a T-Rex?
Uh-huh.
There were dinosaurs.
Sleeping. We have a T-Rex.
Yes, it was 20 years ago, believe it or not, that Steven Spielberg released the formerly extinct from their cages and into the memories of millions.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
Today, the iconic film returns in 3D, and in addition to watching where we sit, we've learned a lot since the original debut of the movie.
We have new species coming from the southern continents that rival T-Rex in size and have banana-sized teeth. We have new species even from western North America here at home that have claws longer than their hands that look like giant Freddy Kruegers.
As far as the species we see in the film,
they're flocking this way.
Paleontologists like Dr. Nathan Smith say most of these things should have wings.
We have a striking array of fossils that have come out in the past 10 to 15 years. It shows many non-avian dinosaurs actually possessed feathers.
And according to the Natural History Museum, this toe-tapping velociraptor should have actually looked more like this. Yikes. And this colorful display should have been even more vibrant in HD film and in real life.
But we don't know the full spectrum of colors that might have been out there, but we can get at some of these structural colors, including certain blacks, iridescent blues, and also kind of the rufous orange color that you might see in a robin.
Bingo. Dino DNA.
But the biggest challenge to the accuracy of this fantasy film, DNA. Last year, a team of researchers from Australia's Murdoch University released a study suggesting DNA can only survive intact about 7 million years. That's about 170 million shy of the Jurassic period. So while embryos from this gastric brooding frog that vanished in the mid-1980s can and were briefly brought back from extinction this year, these older guys, they're permanently gone. Though, maybe that's a good thing.
Now the Jurassic part.
Okay. So how long does DNA last according to them? 7 million years. Anything after the DNA cannot last. Okay. Okay, so question. Because that guy lied in that video. If there's no DNA, what do they find of dinosaurs? What do we find of dinosaurs? Fossils are, which are what? What are they? They're just rock, right? Fossilized bone, right? Rock. So question. How do they know they had color and feathers? Not? You need a question. See, the education system has stopped teaching us to question and just to take in what they say. If all they find are rock bones, how do they know the color of skin and that some had feathers? Now, there was a fraud put out in China a couple years back where supposedly an archaeologist found dinosaur bones with feathers. It turned out to be a fraud, just like there's been frauds in the evolution. We'll get to that later. But this fraud, National Geographic did a huge, like 19 pages on this, because this finally, they had proof of evolution. A dinosaur becoming a bird. And then it was found out to be fake. So in the next month's edition, did they have a big spread out of how this was faked? No. They had a little box that said the article, the previous edition, was false. But see, what did they show you in that video? A dinosaur evolving into a bird. The feathers. And that's what they taught in the movie when Jurassic Park first came out. The guy, the main character, was saying, I think a lot of these animals evolved to become birds. He said the name raptor, it means bird of prey. Well, who gave that dinosaur, when they found the bones, who gave it the name raptor? Some scientist. It wasn't like it was the original name of the creature. You have to find out, how do they know that there was color to these animals? Skin color. And there was. But how do they know it if all they're finding is rock? Rock bones, fossilized bones. We'll get to this in this series. I will explain to you. Now let me show you, that's one view of dinosaurs. Let me show you the next view. Play.
Are dinosaurs in the Bible? Well, the word dinosaur didn't come about until Sir Richard Owen coined it in 1841. But the book of Job in the Bible does refer to a massive creature that God called Behemoth, which had a tail like a cedar tree. Sounds like a sauropod dinosaur. God also said he made Behemoth at the same time he made humans, which makes a lot of sense when you think about all the dragon legends from around the world. After all, what people called dragons were probably dinosaurs before the word dinosaur existed. St. George fought a dragon. So did Alexander the Great's army. And Marco Polo saw one while visiting China. In fact, Chinese historians feature dragons alongside other known animals in the Chinese zodiac. Cave drawings, tapestries, and carvings on other continents also show people and dinosaur-like creatures side by side. That makes sense, since scientists have found original soft tissues, like blood vessels and red blood cells, in dinosaur bones. Lab tests have shown that these kinds of materials break down quickly, so these dinosaur bones can't be very old. As the Bible says, and science confirms, dinosaurs weren't here before humans. They lived at the same time, because they were created on the same day.
All right, can we prove that scientifically? Yes! And that's what we're going to show you through the next 2-3 weeks on this subject. We're going to prove that the Bible is 100% accurate in everything it teaches us. Now, next slide there, Gordon. Here's what we're going to start. Well, I'm almost done because we're almost out of time. Pre-flood evidence. If you believe the biblical account, there should be evidence of dinosaurs and man together. Now, what's interesting is that modern day man, scientists, when did we first discover dinosaurs? Well, we didn't really understand them until the 1800s, but we actually discovered the first dinosaur bones back in the 1600s, 1677. Next slide, there you go. So our Levi, our computer guy, is not here and he's sick. So Gordon's got his hands full up there. 1677 was the first time dinosaur bones were discovered. And they had no clue what they were. But by the 1800s, scientists of the time started putting it together that there's these extinct animals that must have lived a long time ago because their bones have been fossilized. And the word term dinosaur came to be. 1841 is the day that the word dinosaur came. Before then, there was another word. All right? But go back to the pre-flood evidence. There you go. Nope. You went too far. There you go. So, 1800s, first dinosaurs really discovered and understood. According to the biblical timeline, there was a creation 4,000 BC plus, minus a couple years, flood around 2,500 years ago, plus or minus. So if the biblical timeline is true, and it is, all creation was done in 6 days. Man and dinosaurs were made on the same day. There should be evidence of dinosaurs and humanity together. Okay? But if the geological time scale, the geological column, the humanistic worldview of millions of years and the universe is 12.5 billion years, if their view is correct, there shouldn't be any evidence of dinosaurs and humanity together. Next slide there, Gordon. So we looked at the geological time scale here. We've already proven this to be fake. We've showed where it came from, who invented it. We've already proven millions of years is untrue. But according to these beliefs, we're going to keep making sure this is proven false in every way possible. So this geological time scale says that humanity evolved into Homo sapiens around 75,000 years ago. But the dinosaurs lived around 70 million years ago. But died out well before humans came on the scene. So according to their belief, what they teach, yeah, there shouldn't be any evidence of humanity and dinosaurs together. But also remember, if you remember when we talked about the oil and coal formation, how fossil fuels were formed. We talked about this. This is from the public broadcasting system, PBS. Contrary to what many people believe, fossil fuels are not the remains of dead dinosaurs. In fact, most of the fossil fuels we find today were formed millions of years before the dinosaurs. Next slide there, Gordon. Formation of coal. Fossil fuels were formed from plants and animals that lived 300 million years ago in primordial swamps and oceans. Over time, the plants and animals died and decomposed under tons of rock and ancient seas. They never explained where all the tons of rock came from. and the ancient seas. Eventually, many of the seas receded. That sounds biblical. And left dry land with fossil fuels like coal buried underneath it. Now, remember how I showed you how thick some of the coal seams are? 90-100 feet thick. It takes 10 feet of prehistoric, there's that word, prehistoric plant debris was needed to make 1 foot of coal. We talked about that when we were talking about the flood. So if this is true, dinosaurs existed before man, but before the dinosaurs were these other animals that became the coal and the oil, 300 million years before that. So, here's where we're going to stop today. Sorry. But, according to them, there should be no connection between humanity, the dinosaurs, or the coal in the world. But I'll leave you with one little teaser for next week. I'm going to introduce you to a term you may have never heard before. OOP Arts. Anybody ever heard of OOP Arts? You saw it for a second. Anybody heard it? All right, now I flip to it. Out of place artifacts. OOP Arts found in coal and stone. Human artifacts found in coal. Documented. But you never heard of them before, huh? I wonder why. They're there. Human remains with dinosaurs. Human footprints with dinosaur prints. There's a whole bunch of out-of-place artifacts, meaning they shouldn't be there, but they are. Why? Because it's not millions of years. There was a six-day creation by God. Everything was made in 6 days. Then there was a worldwide flood that buried the pre-flood world because of sin. So, folks, it's so important that we are able to talk to people about sin. Sin destroyed the pre-flood world. It's destroying our world today. When we come back next week, we'll go farther into the evidence for dinosaurs and humanity. Again, proving the Bible to be true. But also the ability for us to talk to people and engage with people. And say, listen, there's more evidence. Always avoid the one hand clapping. One hand clapping means you only get one side of the story. Always check for the other side. Then you get the full picture of what is happening. And in our world, there is an effort to get rid of one side so people never hear the truth. It's up to us to bring the truth, to be salt and light, to be His voice. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we just thank You for letting us be here today, Lord. Lord, it's a new week. It's a new week to go out. A new week for us to trust You, to walk by faith, to walk by Your strength, not our own. But, Lord, it is a new week to walk with You. We get to seek You this week. We get to open our Word and we get to spend time with You. And it's just as personal of an experience with You as Mary Magdalene in the garden. We can talk with You through our prayers. We can hear You speak to us through the Word. And we can feel Your strength and Your presence as we go out into the world this week. There is something very precious for those who seek you with a full heart. I ask you, Lord, to help us as your people, not to let the cares of this life, not let the busyness of this life, not let jobs, careers, anything steal the time that we could have with you. Yes, we have to work. Yes, we have to go to school. We have these things we must do. But Lord, help us all to find that time set apart to spend with you. And then when we go out to do those other things that we must do, we go out with your presence, your strength, and we do all those things still for your glory. And to be salt and light wherever we go. Help us, Lord, to have moments where we can speak to people. We can testify. We can share the gospel. We can answer questions. Or we can pray for someone and bring comfort and hope. Lord, help us to be active. Help us to be your church, your disciples. You purchased us with a heavy price. The lives we have now, you have given to us. They're not ours. We no longer belong to ourselves. We belong to you. You purchased us with a heavy price. Let us live that life that you have given us for you and for your glory. We pray this in the name above all names, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And all God's people said, amen. All right, why don't you guys go ahead and stand up. You're going to be out of here on time today. Got to be happy about that, right? Got to be happy about that, right? You Baptists sometimes are so stiff. You guys need more caffeine and sugar. That's what I'm saying, sugar. Come back next Sunday morning. Let's see everybody in that coffee shop. I would love to have to put up extra seating out in the gym and use it to invite people. But if you can't invite anybody or no one invited doesn't come, then come and encourage one another. You do understand. We get our strength and our encouragement from God. That's our number one source. But he gave us the church to encourage one another. We have a responsibility to each other to be here and to encourage one another. Do not forsake the assembling together. And I'm glad you guys are here. But let's do this church thing seriously. Now let's go be his church out there. We play for our captain. Captain of our souls. The one who died for us. He is our captain. And now we're his team. And we're going to go out there. So, let's break out of here on the count of three, ready to go serve our Lord and Savior. The one who died for us. Count of three. One, two, three. Great. Let's go.